Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And of course, I'm here in studio today with my special guest and brother in Christ, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are here to meet you again. And we just thank you for being with us. Again, with Mission from the Heart Radio, we're just excited on what God has done for us today, and I pray and hope that you are excited with us on what God has done in your life. And just keep in mind, we are continuing with this wonderful teaching series, The Benefits of Being in Christ, and I tell you, Minister Harold Copeland is going to bring us a wonderful word from God concerning relationships. And we know that that is a benefit of being in Christ Jesus. So we are going to continue and just jump right into our lesson and allow Minister Harold Copeland to just again, walk us through the scriptures concerning relationships as being a benefit in Christ as we go hand in hand. So, Brother Harold, if you would could move through the scriptures and walk us through as we follow behind you.
Amen. Hello, everyone. As was said, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with my sister in the Lord and good friend, Minister Carnita Smith, we will be teaching in studio. And I always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. And always want you to know that honor, always an honor, to be able to fellowship with you concerning the things of our Lord and our God. And as you know, we are still on the series, The Benefit of Being in Christ. And our category tonight, as was said, is a relationship with God. And that's the greatest benefit of being in Christ. We come one with God. And as we dig a little deeper, we're going to find out that we come one with love. We come one with love that surpasses knowledge. That's how the Apostle Paul said, that I may know. And you know I like that word, know. And as we teach and disciple, we have to understand that that's not an intellectual knowing, but it's a knowing of the heart. It's an intimacy that I may know in my knower, amen, the love of God that surpasses knowledge, and that we may have a relationship with that love, called the agape. Definition, unconditional. Amen. That a relationship with God, a relationship with love, is a relationship with unconditional love. And God tells our heart, I love you. There's nothing you can do to stop me. He loves us with everything that is in him. And we're going to learn that love so we can love him with everything that's in us. And we can truly step into this intimacy that he so longed to have with us, a heart-to-heart intimacy with God the Father, a relationship with God. relationship with love. And as we look at relationship, and one of the most important things about having a relationship is one must understand the person with whom one is having the relationship with. And this also applies to having a relationship with God. We need to understand the basic nature. That's good. I like that. Basic nature, basic character of God. In order to have a healthy relationship with Him. Now, by misunderstanding God's character and by misunderstanding God's nature, that's one of the reasons many people don't have a positive relationship with God. You know, some say God put sickness on you. Some say God will break your leg if you don't act right. You know. And just some horrific things that they come up with that's nowhere near the nature and character of God. And since they don't have a clear understanding of God's nature and character, they get fearful of Him. And then some say, you know, if God hurt people, then why I want Him to be my God? But that's the work of the enemy. Just, he's a liar. And he's the father of lies. And he is constantly putting lies into the hearts and minds of the people of God so that they won't have a clear understanding of God. And we're looking at a clear understanding of God's nature and God's character so that they can come one. Amen. And have the greatest relationship that anyone could have since the beginning of the creation of the earth, a relationship with God, our Father. And this is what happened in the Garden of Eden. You remember the Garden of Eden? Yes, the first two humans was created and placed in the garden. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve was tempted by the serpent, they entered into temptation. They disobeyed God, and they plunged the whole world into sin. And the major part of their temptation was the lack of understanding God's nature and the lack of understanding God's character. Now, what we want to do now is we want to read our launch pad scripture, Psalms 103.
Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2. My soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all His benefits.
Amen. Now, let's go to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter number 3, and let's read verses 1 through 5.
Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
Amen. Now, in this, Satan is making a subtle statement to Adam and Eve. And what he's trying to convince them is that God is really not a good God. He's trying to convince Adam and Eve that, we're talking about Satan, trying to convince Adam and Eve that God is trying to withhold something from you all. God do not want them to reach their full potential. And God definitely don't want them to be like him. So that's the reason he made that rule about you eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He done it to hinder you, and he done it to hurt you. So Satan was coming up against the very nature and character of God. He was mocking God by saying God did not want the best for Adam and Eve. Now, this is happening today. The same thing. The exact same thing is happening today. Satan is telling people, if you follow God and don't experiment with all these wonderful things the world has got to offer you, you'll never see true happiness. Your life's going to be boring. You're going to have a dead life. And you know the sad thing about this, people go on and experience the things of the world. And only after the fact, they find out that the drugs didn't satisfy, the alcohol didn't satisfy, the sex didn't satisfy, the rebellion didn't satisfy, the indulgence of self did not satisfy, and even the success on the job, did not satisfy. And all the other things that they tried to have a relationship with to satisfy themselves, they found out it didn't work. But by the time they realize it, that it's not working, they already destroyed their lives. They already destroyed their families. And they already destroyed their health. Now, the truth is, God is a good God. And God has a will for all of us. God has a plan for all of us. God say, I know the plan that I have for you. He says, it's not an evil plan, but it's a good plan. Man. But oh, Satan is still using the same temptation on us today that he used against Adam and Eve in the garden. Basically, he's saying that God is not a good God. Now, if you look at some people, you know, that's not faithful in reading their word, don't read their word on a regular basis. You know, people that do not read the word like their life depends on it. When you find someone that don't read their word like as though their very life is in that word, which it is, and they have a little understanding of the Bible. And with that, as you read some of the events that took place in the Old Testament, you can get the impression that God can be bad sometimes because he treated people very harshly in the Old Testament. And we're going to pull that out. And some people were treated in cruel ways. Let's look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 15. The book of Numbers chapter 15. Verses 32 through 36.
Numbers 15, 32 through 36. And it reads this way. Starting in 32. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. Verse 36. So, as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died.
Now that's harsh. And God did command Moses and the people to do this for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. He was stoned to death for failing to observe the Sabbath. That's harsh. But there was a purpose behind it. A purpose behind such punishment. And it may not be obvious just through a casual reading of the scripture. But we need to understand that Old Testament law as keeping the Sabbath was given the sin that was committed to become exceedingly sinful. Yes. So the law was given to make sin exceedingly sinful. Let's see what Paul got to say about this in Romans chapter 7, verse 13.
Romans 7, 13. Mm-hmm. And it reads this way. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful.
Amen. And the reason they had to get that knowledge that sin was exceedingly sinful was because of the holiness of God. And we understand that in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, the Savior, amen, he was manifested. He had shed his precious blood. He wasn't available as Lord and Savior for people. Amen. And we understand that God is a holy God. Amen. And no unholiness can come into his presence. And when the people were sinning in the Old Testament, that contamination, amen, was an affront to God. So God had to judge that sin. Now, he got the will in the motion. God has the will in motion showing a need for a Savior that no man can stand in the presence of God without a Savior. And as we look at Adam and Eve, we understand that they was in the perfect condition. They weren't born in sin like we was. Amen, because we were born on a fallen humanity. They was created in perfection. But because of the free will, they wasn't able to stand in the presence of a holy God without sin. Amen. So we just wanted to make that point and focus on that point. See, they didn't realize how deadly their transgressions were against God. And their transgression, and I'm talking about the people in the Old Testament saints, their transgression and their sin, it was an offense against God. And they didn't compare their actions to a holy God. They was comparing themselves to each other. And that is falling way short of the glory of God. You know, somebody committed a sin. And if they didn't die, that old head gonna be thinking that sin ain't so bad after all. Oh, I can get away with this. Now they begin to lower the standards. They're losing the true perspective of what right and what wrong is. You know, God says the time is coming where they're going to call good evil and evil good. And God has to judge that. God had to bring a plumb line. He had to draw the line. Amen. I'm holy. I'm a holy God. And be ye holy as I am holy. Sin can't come into God's presence. That foul contamination has to be judged. Amen. And man has to understand the importance of rejecting the devil and his ways and keeping one heart and mind in the hands of God, of this awesome God that we serve. And they had to reject the devil in his temptation and recognize what the end result of wrong choices will be. You know, you make a wrong choice. Amen. There's consequences. And when God did that, he had to enforce his laws. Now, as we tap into the heart of God, let's understand something about the laws and the commandments. Now, God did not give the Old Testament commandments for the purpose of saying, this is not God's heart. Until you do all these commandments, I can't accept you. Or until you do all of these commandments, I can't love you. Now, that's not the heart and nature and character of God. God gave the commandments to make their sense of right and wrong more acute and to bring them to the realization that they needed a Savior. See, that's what God was doing. He was putting the will in motion. And most of that Old Testament, it just shows that we can't walk with God without a Savior. And he spent the whole Testament, God spent the whole Testament showing us that no man, not even the perfect man and the perfect woman, can stay in his presence without a Savior. And you know, some people think that God is demanding perfection. You know, I was in that. I was actually caught up in that. Thought that we, you know, we couldn't have no sins at all, or we were going to hell. I used to go around and count my sins. You know, I mean, I was a real good Pharisee and Sadducee. Amen. I can go a week and, you know, count all my sins on one finger. Amen. Because I was so religious and self-righteous. Amen. Because I thought that I couldn't have, you know, any sins to walk with God or be in family, or be in the family of God. So I was a self-righteous individual, self-righteous Sadducees and Pharisees. And I pride myself that I can go a whole week and only commit about three sins, and I knew what they were, and I was able to confess them and get them all washed under the blood, and then I was all holier than thou. Amen. I tell you what, but when I got older and my sins got many, 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 I couldn't keep up with them. Amen. Amen. I couldn't repent of all of them. Amen. Then my eyes got open. And I say, hey, I can't do this. Amen. If I depend on myself to cleanse myself of my sins, I ain't making it to heaven. Then I'm like, I need a Savior. I was like, God is right. I need a Savior. Amen. And then I begin to call on that name that is above all now. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he came into my heart and he began to do what I could not do. And that saved myself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So God is not demanding perfection. Amen. He has given us perfection in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ done it all right. Amen. And he gave us the credit for it. And we enjoy the benefits of what Jesus has done for us. Glory to God. And that great benefit is a relationship with God. A relationship with love. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And as I said, because I know I was there, that I felt that God was demanding perfection before he could love me. Amen. So every time I sinned, I actually thought I got unsaved. I mean, I would get saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved. And that's not the heart of God. Hallelujah. God has saved us and sealed us forever. Amen. And he has paid for all of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sins of yesterday, sins of today, and sins of forevermore. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And see, I felt that God's love was proportioned to my performance. And that's that old performance gospel. My God. That gospel will have you bind up. Amen. There's no joy in that gospel. There's no peace in that gospel. Because one is too busy trying to work. And by the time one do something right, then one do three things wrong. You know, I think the old saying is take one step forward and take three steps backwards. Amen. Glory to God. But Jesus Christ performed for all of us. Amen. It's his performance that has pleased the heart of our God. Hallelujah. And when we receive him into our hearts and to our minds and our souls, hallelujah, we reap the benefits of that finished work that he has already done. Amen. So we don't have to feel that until we do everything exactly right, we will not be accepted by God. And that's not the message of the Bible. Amen. You know, there's really one thing that is right. One thing. And if we can get that one thing, we got it. And that one thing is receiving Jesus Christ in our hearts as our Lord and our Savior. If we get that right, we got everything right. Man, everything going to fall in place. And see, that's God's heart. His heart is to reconcile us back to himself. And he does it in the person of Jesus Christ. God is not judging us. Amen. He's judging the work of his Son. And if we believe in those works and receive his Son, there we go again, that we're a benefit. We get the benefit of what Jesus has done. See, God is not imputing our sins against us. And David saw that. You know, David was a prophet. And David saw that in the Old Testament. David said, blessed those New Testament believers who God do not impute their sins to them, impute their sins against them. So David saw that. And, it, you know, it was like David had a little jealousy in his heart. It was like, wow, I wish I could get in that covenant with them. Amen. So it is an awesome covenant. And God is not holding our sins against us. I mean, that's some good news. Glory to God. Sins have been paid for. The sin debt is paid in full. God's heart is satisfied concerning the sin issue. Amen. When God look at us now, he don't even see the sin. God sees us through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's how we get our perfection, through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we need to understand God's real heart. Glory to God. In spite of us. Amen. God's real heart is love. Amen. The agape, the unconditional love of God. And let's read that in 1 John chapter number 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4,
starting in verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen. Is. In other words, they're saying that's the very essence. That's the very essence of who God is. And God is seeking to take away all of our sins. And anything in us that would try to separate us away from him. And God already done the work through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And God is offering a relationship with him. A relationship with his heart. And it's not based on our performance, but based on our faith and our acceptance of Jesus bearing in his body all of the sins of the world, which also includes all of our sins. And one can have a relationship with God tonight, today, regardless of the failures in our lives. All God asks is that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is wooing, tugging our hearts, bringing people to our Lord and our God. And we're going to get ready to stop, drop, and pray, because God wants to reconcile some hearts back to him. And God wants you to know that he's not imputing your sins against you. He's not counting your sins. And God wants you to see his real heart, which is love. He wants to take away all of your sins. He wants to take away anything in you that will be a blockage between your heart and his heart. And like I said, he already done it through Jesus. And all you have to do is accept Jesus and what he already done for you by bearing all of the sins of the world in his body and destroy them forever. Choose today. Make that choice. Do it now. Make the choice to have a relationship with God. And it don't matter about your failures. You heard my testimony. I had so many failures I couldn't even keep up with them. Glory to God. But Jesus knew all about them. And he was there to go before me to make my crooked path straight. So today, as we've stopped, dropped, and prayed, open your heart and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Minister Carnita Smith is going to lead you into a salvation prayer.
Amen. So if you would, bow your head, humble your heart as we go to the throne of grace, and just know that this is the day that the Lord has made for you to give your heart to Christ today. So we're going to take care of that. So if you would follow along with me in prayer, and brothers and sisters, if we would touch and agree that you would be in prayer with Brother Harold and I as the others who are accepting Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you know someone who is in need. Lift them up in prayer that they may have a right to the tree of life. God knows how to minister to them as well, as long as you stay faithful in prayer. So let's pray. Lord God, here I am. I'm here needing you today. Today I have chosen willingly surrender my life to you. I need a Savior. I trust and believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior and what he did on that cross for me. Lord God, here I am. I know I said things that I shouldn't have. I know I did some things in the past that I know were not right. And Lord, my mouth, clean it up. My thoughts, clean it up. Purify me, O Lord, purify me. I come to you by faith, and I know that I am not worthy. But you, Lord God, here I am. Lord, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and I want to continue to yield to your way. Lord God, I love you and I need you. Here I am. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother and sister in Christ, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And for those of you who are lifting up someone in your circle of influence, maybe your spouse or a friend or a brother or sister or someone directly, closely related to you, praise the Lord. You continue to pray for them and those who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior today. Today, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion. Hallelujah. And when you get up from there, you would tell somebody that you are a Christ follower, that you have been born again, that you now seek Jesus for guidance, that you are on the straight and narrow road. Seek out a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class that you could be discipled and grow and go in grace. So hallelujah, praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of faith, and we will continue to disciple you through this ministry, Mission from the Heart, as you continue to listen and receive the beautiful nuggets that the Lord wants you to receive. So amen and praise the Lord. Brother Harold?
Yes. Now, before we go into part B of this teaching, I want to just pull out some points on part A. So, Minister Smith, I need you to read some scriptures as I call them out to you.
All right.
Okay, let's go back to Genesis 3 and 1.
Genesis 3 and 1. And, I will reread. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Amen.
Then the serpent said to the woman. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the point we want to pull out of that is the question. The question Satan asks Eve, and he asked her, "Has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" Conniving, getting ready to do what he do best, deceive. Amen. Now, our second point will come out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 17.
Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
Okay. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, Eve added something to the command God gave them. And the next point will be, what words did Eve add? So look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, and let's see what Eve added.
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Okay, so we see that Eve added the nor shall you touch it, because God never said that in the first commandment he gave to them. Okay, so we're going to Genesis 3 and 6. Let's read that.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, so gave to her husband with her, and he ate.
Yes, and the point that we're going to bring out of that is, once Satan was able to plant that seed in Eve's head, once he was able to instill doubt into Eve's mind regarding the word of God, what did she do in this verse? Once that seed was planted, she took and she ate of the tree. In other words, she disobeyed God. All right, we want to look at Genesis chapter 3, 9 and 10.
Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
Amen. Now, the point we want to bring up is that after Adam and Eve sinned, God did not push them away from him. He still wanted to communicate and pursue a relationship with him, the love of our God. The next will be Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 and
24. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know God, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken.
Yes, and you know, religion say that God put them out of the garden because they were sinful and God did not want them in his presence anymore. God was mad at them. But the reason God put them out of the garden, it was an act of love. Adam and Eve was in a sinful state. And if they would have ate from the tree of life in a sinful state, they would have had to stay in that sinful state for the rest of their lives. There will be no hope for them to be saved. There will be no hope for them to live in eternity with God. So, in order for them not to eat of that tree of life in a sinful state, God had to remove them from the garden and even put an angel, a seraphim, there to protect it, and with a sword out in front to make sure they didn't go and eat from that tree in that sinful state. Six. And six say, can you see that this was an act of mercy by God rather than a punishment? Yes, it was an act of God's mercy to show his love toward them. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 17.
Romans 5, 17. It reads this way. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And the point we want to make out of that is, how do we attain God's abundance of grace and gift of righteousness? We just receive it. Yes, and in studio, we just want to release God's abundant grace, and we want to release God's gift of righteousness. And all you have to do is just open up your heart and open up your mind and just receive it. Receive the gift of righteousness. Receive that abundance of grace. Hallelujah. God freely gives. He freely gives. And we just open ourselves up and freely receive that he has for us. Yes, that's that grace and that's that righteousness. And you know, I love that word righteousness. That means right standing with God, right standing in the presence of God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. And the point we want to make out of that is, when we sin, what do we really deserve? And she read that so eloquently, death. But because of God's love, amen, he gives us life. He gives us eternal life instead of death. Yes. And we just release eternal life in studio. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And the next point comes out of the same, and it says, what God gives us instead, and he gives us eternal life through the power of his Holy Spirit, through the life of Jesus Christ, that resurrection life on the inside of us. Hallelujah. The resurrection power. where the Most High God dwelleth on the inside of us. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 3.
Romans 10, verse 3. And it reads, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God."
Amen. And the point that they want to bring out, we want to bring out of that is, if we try to establish our own righteousness, what do we miss out on? We miss out on submitting to Jesus as our righteousness. And I told you that I tried to establish my own righteousness and live my own righteous life. That's hard. Glory to God. Amen. I mean, that's some hard work. You'll never make it. I definitely wasn't going to make it until the truth of the gospel came forth and showed me that I didn't have to establish my own righteousness. And in all reality, the word of God said that my own righteousness will ever feel too ragged in the presence of God. Amen. So we submit to Jesus' righteousness in our hearts. Hallelujah. Jesus' righteousness in our mind. Glory to God. Jesus' righteousness in our soul. Man, this gospel is some good news. Glory to God. Let's do our 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read that. That's the point I want to bring out.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 3.
Romans 4, 3. And it reads this way. For what does the scripture say? Adam believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Amen. So the point is, what does God promise to do with all of our sins and iniquities against him if we would only believe? He will remove them. He will forget them. And he will forgive them. And those that pray the prayer today, your sins was removed. Your sins has been forgotten, and you have been forgiven of all of your sins. Amen. I'm in that category too. You know, and it's good to know that you've been forgiven. It's good to know that you know that you know. That's why we read this word, so this word can reveal the truth of God to us. And we've been forgiven. All of our sins have been forgotten. The word says, thrown into the sea of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then some people put go on to say, and you put a no fishing sign up there. Don't go fishing for them. Amen. We're forgiven by this loving God. Thank you, God. And the last point is, because God does all of this for us, remove our sins, forget, throw them in the sea of forgetfulness, with the no fishing sign. As far as the east is from the west, and then he forgives us, washes us white as snow by the precious shed blood of our Lord and our Savior and his dear son, Jesus Christ. And so what does this tell us about God? That he's merciful. Man, full of mercy. And mercy means God not giving us the punishment that we deserve, but he gives us grace instead. And we know that grace means unmerited favor, favor we didn't earn, couldn't earn, would have never been able to earn. But Jesus Christ earned it for us. And he gives us the benefits. Amen. So God is merciful. And God is loving. And I feel the Spirit of God in the studio. And by the Spirit of God, let's just take 30 seconds and let God love on our hearts. Yes, love is hard. Yes. Yes, love is hard. You see, this part A was a relationship with God. Amen. And we understand that the very essence of who God is love. So it's a relationship with love. Amen. And it's not this humanistic love. Amen. It's the agape. Amen. The unconditional love of God. And we just release it all through the studio. The unconditional love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, just a touch. He'll touch us. Just a touch. Oh, yes. Just a touch by the Master's hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. And I just want to read one more scripture today. Out of the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. Chapter number 5. Book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Verse 16. It's a good. It's 16 has some beautiful talking in there. Verse 16.
5:16. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen. Let's keep on reading 7. Let's read all the way down to 23.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, tensions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That's that big S. The big S. They're talking about Holy Spirit. And he's in our bellies. You know, the word of God says, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And they're referring to the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, let's look at this ugly stuff. I like a teacher that come up to me named Marilyn Hickley. And when she see this ugly stuff, she say, yuck, 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 yuck. And it's adultery, yuck, yuck, fornication, yuck, yuck, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murderers, drunkenness, reveling. And, you know, and we search in our hearts and our minds, and if we see any of that yuck, 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 yuck in our hearts and our minds, amen, we just ask God to take it away, to remove it from us, amen. Because that's not the fruit that we demonstrate as children of the Most High God. But we go down to 5 and 23. For the Holy Spirit produces, and we normally call that the fruit of the Spirit, and I break it down to say evidence that Holy Spirit is present within us, we will manifest these wonderful, awesome fruits, and notice it says fruit, and not fruits. So the fruit is love, and all the rest of the attributes, they are what make up genuine love, the agape. So we have love, the unconditional love of God, hallelujah, and we have this supernatural joy on the inside of us. And this joy doesn't come from a circumstance or a situation, amen. This joy comes through the Spirit of God, amen. So that's why we can manifest it anytime, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the circumstance or situation is, no matter how big the mountain is or the valley, you know, we can always tap into this supernatural joy. You know, they call it joy unspeakable. And then they say the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it strengthens us. And we have peace, described as the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Amen. So, you know, you should be crying. You should be giving up. Amen. But you got peace in the midst of it all. That's God's supernatural peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Amen. And we receive the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And we receive the wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for joining us to himself by his Spirit. And that word, amen, the seed of the word gets in our hearts and germinates and manifests the kingdom life. That we can be like our God, and we can enjoy a relationship with him, and we can enjoy a relationship with his love. Amen and amen and amen. I want to turn it back over to Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something about the love of Jesus. Something about that agape love. And I tell you, if it had not been for the love of God, where would we be? Where would we be? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish. And that's a hallelujah praise. So always remember, my brothers and sisters, that as long as the word of God goes forth, that is love. And that is love in a big way. And we just encourage you to tune back in and join us in the with Mission from the Heart on next week, that we will continue with this wonderful series, The Benefits of Being in Christ, and that we will continue with relationships and love of God and this beautiful, big relationship that we have with him. So always remember that the word of God will remain, but we know seasons come and seasons go, such as the grass withers. And the flowers, oh, yeah, they fade away. But the word of God, it will remain forever and ever. So God bless you and continue to seek the word of God and continue to remain in fellowship with God. God bless you.